a session about health policy recommendations is kind of meta, you know, and not like in a cool way, not like, you know, maybe like a reality TV show about making reality TV shows. You know, this is wonky. So I appreciate you all being here, and I'll try and you know, like, spice it up a little bit, because I think this is, aside from having no personal things to disclose, it's actually an important topic. And I think recommendations really matter, but you have to think about it, I think, in very practical terms. What's the point of Healthy People 2020 or any other compendium of recommendations? Presumably, it assumes that there is a group of people out there who will do something. So then you have to think about who those people are and what their problems are and why they would turn to Healthy People 2020 to solve them. And I guess we think, at least in the policy realm, that the people out there using Healthy People 2020 and the Community Guide and other sources of recommendations are people who have a yen to solve a problem with policy, and they're kind of looking for advice as to what exactly they should do. Or they're at least they're facing a problem and they don't know what to do, and they think, well, maybe somebody else does. Maybe the federal government knows. Maybe our health authorities know what we should do. Right away, I should say that there's a whole group of people who probably are not so much influenced by recommendations, and those are the people who are trying to solve problems that we don't have any recommendations for. You know, so typically the recommendations emerge through a process of sifting evidence and maybe some other kinds of activities, and you end up having tried and true or reasonably plausible answers based on some level of experience. But if you know, you were in 2009 in the Washington legislature and your problem was youth sports concussions, you would not find a single recommendation anywhere on any federal site. And yet that was the hottest legislative issue across the 50 states, or one of the hottest in the last 5 years. Right? And the truth really largely of opioid overdose, another big one. So recommendations are an important place in our, I'm going to come back to this, the policy evidence translation supply chain. Like, it's important right at the basis, if we have some good advice that's based on some good experience or evidence, that people should be able to find it and use it when they are faced with the problem that the recommendation concerns. So that's important. But what's more important is, I think, how long it takes them to find this, right? Because, you know, this is this sort of idealized, actually I think Angie made this slide, idealized sort of picture of how we move from evidence to better health. But the key factor that makes this a virtuous cycle or just a slow of despond is how long it takes. You know, if it takes us 20 years from the first state to adopt the seatbelt law to the last state to adopt the seatbelt law, you know, you can measure that delay in lots and lots of dead people. You know, so we want it to be fast. So this is partly a communications and partly an information strategy. We thought a lot about what would make a compendium of recommendations, you know, really good. I think, you know, like Healthy People 2020, it should aspire to be something of a one-stop shop. You know, we need a brand, I think we have it with Healthy People 2020, where people will go and look when they at least know where to look. I think it has to be consistent in that, you know, you saw that long list of Healthy People 2020 topics. If we are trying to be a consistent one-stop shop for policy recommendations at Healthy People 2020, then you would assume that there are going to be policy recommendations for pretty much all of those areas, right? Because there are almost no areas where you can't do something with law where somebody isn't trying to. The third part is it needs to be accessible. You know, I mean this in many different ways. Obviously, the physical accessibility and, you know, the ability to be something that you could find pretty easily. It should be easy to find those recommendations. It should be easy to understand those recommendations. It should be easy to find out, well, now as I go down to the recommendation level, what's an ideal recommendation? It should clearly describe what is the policy that we want people to adopt, and what, you know, what kind of level or institution do we expect that policy to be adopted. Some things are clearly state level things and the states should do it. Some are local level, at least possibly local level. It could be institutional. But, you know, if you want to reach somebody, you want to kind of say, hey, I'm talking to you. You ought to pass a helmet law, state legislator. I think it's really important, since we got their attention and we're saying the reason you follow this recommendation is that there's an evidence base for it, that it should be easy to access that evidence base. You should be able to find the or get close to something, a literature review or a summary or a, you know, what is the basis for that recommendation. And then I think it's also really important, if you're trying to speak in any practical sense to anybody who's a policy stakeholder or an advocate, who needs to do this? You know, if we say every state should adopt a helmet law, really the next question is, well, which states are we talking about? Which states already have a helmet law, and which states need to adopt a helmet law? Because there's no point in lobbying for the law that's already in place. You know, you want to put this where it's needed. And not just that, if we're able to say at any given moment who's done it, then a year from now, we will know who did it. Right, so if the feds make a recommendation in Healthy People 2020, it'd be nice to know a year from now if anybody followed it, or 2 years from now, or 3 years from now. If nobody's following these recommendations, then maybe we've got to rethink whether this is, in fact, an ideal health policy resource, because it lacks that little nuance of efficacy that we like to see in an intervention. So how are we doing? Well, the public health law program at CDC asked us last year at PHLR to look at, you know, four major sources of health policy recommendations put out by the feds and just kind of make an initial assessment of the extent to which they were doing those ideal things we thought they should be doing. In fact, even beyond that, like, just what are the policies that these sources are recommending? Are they a lot? Are they a few? Are they the same? So we identified 104 distinct legal interventions, you know, a policy suggestion that we could really understand you should pass a, you know, explicit, clear law. Now, there were lots of hits, like, for example, on Healthy People 2020, when you, you know, search for law or policy, but virtually all of them is the same phrase, maintain consistency with, you know, applicable laws and regulations. No specification as to what those might be, let alone who has them. Now, you know, of course we have a broad range of topics covered. You can't see this, but all you really have to do is see the strange pattern of X's. This is just one page of a table in that report, and you can go get it and off the web and see. But you can see that there are some areas across the top where all the other ones have a recommendation in an area, but not Healthy People 2020. So there are clearly policy things that can be recommended, but Healthy People 2020 doesn't do it. Then there are a bunch of others where the community guide has recommended them. And that's like the gold standard, because the community guide recommendations are based on the best evidence base, but none of the rest of the sources are recommending them. I guess, what, too good for them? I don't know. And then there's some where you have kind of a mix. And then there's a bunch where everybody's recommending it. And here's interesting, and this is, in fact, a finding that would be borne out if you look at the whole table. In the that bunch of policies are all about tobacco. Right? So if you are in the tobacco business, you can find policy recommendations. It's as if there is really no generally important public health law out there, except if it has to do with tobacco. Otherwise, you know, maybe, who knows? And this really, I think, goes to how the recommendations get made. What we have is, let's see if I say this. We have a lot, you know, we have, let me get this now, all right. So I'm going to go back to this. We have a lot of areas in Healthy People 2020, in fact, the majority of them, which don't have any legal recommendations at all. Even where we know, like as this table suggests, that there are good recommendations to be made. In fact, even where other health government recommendation sources make them. So it's not looking like a good one-stop shop. It's looking like if you want to get policy recommendations, you're going to have to do a lot of homework and a lot of effort to find some of these suggestions. None of these are all that great either, other part from Community Guide, of course, with identifying the evidence base. You know, the Community Guide is the evidence base, but the rest of them, it's not always so clear what's the basis of that recommendation. Healthy People 2020 has moved to a really cool web base, which is nice, you know, and modern and all that sort of stuff. But what you get, at least what we got, when we tried to investigate the evidence base in our cases, was a link to a preset PubMed search, which might or might not be a very good search, and might or might not work at all. So I guess you'd have to figure out yourself what that evidence base was and make the case. The prevention status reports, were pretty good. They were the most consistent of all those in telling people what the current status of the law was in these recommendations. But generally, we have a problem with weak policy surveillance across these recommendations. So, you know, if there's a source like APIS, the Alcohol Policy Information System, where somebody is tracking the law, there's usually a link there. But otherwise, it's just a reference to, you know, the fact we check this on Westlaw. And sometimes the information is a year old and sometimes it's 2 years old, but it's rarely an immediate understanding of who actually should be taking this advice. So how would we move towards the ideal that I articulated earlier? Well, I think we must need, and I'm not an expert on this, and maybe it'll come out in the discussion, but I think we need a better process at Healthy People 2020 and maybe across CDC and HHS for making recommendations. Because it just doesn't make sense that it's an accident of who cared. That, you know, you have, and at the accident that you're already endowed with good advocacy resources, that you have recommendations for policy, and in other areas you don't. I think, you know, we could do a lot better job, and this is just basic translation 101, in making the evidence base more accessible. It's not easy to find. So if you do, as an advocate or a policymaker, find a recommendation that you believe in, you're not going to have what you ought to have, which is sort of what you need in your hand to convince other people that this is a good idea. You'll have to build that yourself. And I think, you know, we have to invest in policy surveillance so we can start saying, this is a priority, there's only 10 states that have it. That means 40 states and the District of Columbia have to do it next. And we ought to be able to say a year from now, we're not making any progress. You know, and if we're not saying that, if we're not able to say that, then I don't think it's serious. They're not really serious. It's like, what's the point? You don't even count if you did it, if anybody paid attention. So that's not good. But I put this into the reason I think that way is I put this into a larger model. I'm coming back to where my first slide. You know, I talked about it as sort of a supply chain between, you know, that gets you from problems and early solutions to the dissemination of the wide dissemination of evidence-proven recommendations and practices. Another way to think about this is that there are sort of five essential public health law services, and if they're not present, you're not likely to have effective translation or implementation of legal problem solving. So the first is obviously, you know, you need to know what the good ideas are. And if you're innovating, if you're facing a new problem, you need to have access to good EPI information and skilled people and people who are thoughtful about how you solve problems with policy and sort of come up with a plausible new solution. And once you come up with that idea, you got to have lawyers there to turn that into an actual something. You know, is it going to be an executive order or is it going to be a statute? You know, is it going to be a guideline? Is it constitutional? Is it preempted? I mean, you know, problem solving today and implementing even, you know, well-founded recommendations often involves some technical legal questions that if you don't solve, you're wasting your time. You're going to run into problems down the road in some court. You know, we don't like to talk about it, although, and we all dance, depending on who funds us, around it to some degree, but you got to have the political part going. You got to have those one pagers on, you know, on the education side, and you got to have people who are willing to carry those one pagers into a legislator's office and convince them to adopt that idea. So we have to have that present and invest in that. Something that we're almost completely missing in the world of public health law is support, especially for enforcement. There's not even sort of a TA model for enforcement in our public health system now, and I think we need that badly. We have a lot of people who are good at defending the laws that get dragged into court. But in terms of the normal day-to-day work of coming up with ways to effectively enforce the law, we're kind of leaving state and local public health on their own. And then finally, of course, going back to my part of the picture, we need the policy surveillance and evidence that tells us how we're doing, what works, and what doesn't. And this all comes back to my original point about recommendations. This is not rocket science. Everything about making recommendations and sifting evidence, we know how to do. Everything on that chain, somebody knows how to do. In our best public health campaigns, those things have all been present, and they've been well networked. Take tobacco. But that's the problem. We don't need, I mean, I hate to say it, we don't need 26 recommendations on tobacco policy, as badly as we need 110 recommendations across everything else, and the resources, all those different resources, to make them fly as well as tobacco has flown in the face of the typical opposition we have to public health stuff. So I'm all for recommendations. I think we can do a lot better than we do now, and I'm really happy that HHS has taken this task on to try and figure out how we can make these recommendations more impactful and more accessible.